Hello, Tigers. Finjan here. A quick announcement before we start. My friend and former student Chris Jerome just published his first novel, and he asked me to do the audiobook narration for him. I took him up on it, and it just went live at audible.com at the beginning of this week, and to help promote it, Audible has given me 25 download codes to give away to my friends. So I thought, well, you know, if you enjoy listening to me blab about Oregon history three times a week, maybe you'd enjoy listening to me narrating Chris's book. It's really good. It's a high fantasy novel, so it's about 100,000 words long, and it's called Wrath of the Fallen. You can get more details about it with a search for Wrath of the Fallen on Amazon or Audible. And anyway, if you want a download code, email me and I'll send you one. They're free, no strings attached comp copies. So if you'd like one, hit me up. Finn@finjan.com. Thanks. Okay, here's the show. Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ@offbeatoregon.com, and this is the thrice weekly Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for queuing me up today, and I hope you enjoyed the show. This story was first published on May 9th of 2009 under the headline "The Rowdy But Golden Past of Almost Ghost Town Granite." Here we go. When mayors of incorporated cities start talking about growth, it's hard to beat the story of Steve Smith, mayor of the historic mining town of Granite, Oregon. Granite's population has shot up 2,800% since 1970. Of course, in 1970, Granite's population was one. The population's name was Odie Ford. The mayor's name, Odie Ford. The city council president's name, well, you get the picture. Ford liked to joke that Granite had a Republican administration. But if Granite's founder could have heard that back when the town was new, he likely would have run down Main Street shooting into the air. The town's founder was a prospector named Jack Long, and he founded the town because his mule got stuck in the mud while packing a big load of whiskey on July 4, 1862. Long pulled the mule out of the mud and found gold dust mixed with the mud on his feet. Or, so the story goes. In any case, immediately Long staked a mining claim there, and within a week he had company, a lot of company, and the town sprang up in shockingly short order. Long wanted to name the town Independence because it was founded on July 4th. It's not clear why this date was special to Long because the Civil War was on, and he, like everyone else in the town, was a Southern Democrat. In fact, there's a story about that, passed on in a 1939 WPA Oregon Folklore Studies interview with old-time Granite resident Mrs. Neil Neven. In 1864, Long learned from government records that someone in his town had voted for Abraham Lincoln. Suitably fortified with liquor, he stormed through town with a pistol and a knife, accosting everyone he saw. "Did you dare vote for Abraham Lincoln?" Everyone answered no until a man riding by on a horse reined in. "I dared vote for Lincoln. What are you going to do about it?" Dead silence fell. A crowd started to gather. Finally, Long broke the silence.
"Well, that makes one. Where's another?"
"I thought you were going to shoot the first black Republican you met, Jack,"
yelled someone from the crowd.
"Well," Long said, "you can't shoot a man on his horse."
Like a lot of old mining towns in the Blue Mountains, Granite was a rough, tough, hard-drinking, hard-punching kind of place. At its peak, it boasted nearly 5,000 residents, almost all male and almost all miners. Roughly 3,000 of those residents were Chinese. The Chinese would buy played-out mines and work the tailings over. Because they had more skill and patience than the European and American miners, they'd get quite a bit of color out of what Westerners thought was worthless slag. Many a miner, chortling over the money a Chinese man had paid him for a worthless slag heap, later found out the joke was on him. When one of the miners would hit a big strike, he sometimes would treat the whole town to a big drunken party. Quote, I remember one time a miner had just made a big strike, Niven said in her 1939 interview. When he brought his bag of gold dust in, he walked up to the saloon and while standing at the door, threw his bag of gold dust across the room and it lit on the bar, breaking the bag and making a big dent in the bar. He yelled, come on, you mud sluckers, the drink is on me. It was one of the wildest, wooliest nights Granite ever had. The party had cooled off quite a bit by World War II, but in 1942, the Labor Act outlawed gold mining, and the town screeched to a demographic stop. The men went off to war or to some home front effort elsewhere, possibly in the Portland shipyards, and after the war was over, few, if any, came back. Today, though, Granite is growing. It's a gorgeous mountain town, a little more than 4,000 feet above sea level. Vacationers and elk hunters from elsewhere come and see it and fall in love with it. During the summer, hundreds of people crowd the town, but winters are harsh and amenities are few. Year-round residence is just 28. And it's no longer the smallest incorporated city in Oregon. That honor now goes to nearby Greenhorn, whose population is zero. Key sources in this story included works by William Haight, Norman Weiss, and Steve Smith. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. What you're listening to is a reading from one of roughly 330 newspaper columns published between 2008 and today. Other Offbeat Oregon goodies include a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, a fleet of Pinterest boards, and a ton of great historic photos and a bunch more stuff, including visuals for today's show and full citations to its sources, all accessible via our hub page at offbeatoregon.com. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Questions, critiques, ideas for future episodes? Email me at fj@offbeatoregon.com. You can also ping me on Twitter at @offbeatoregon or send a message through the Facebook page at facebook.com/oregon.1859. Episodes of Offbeat Oregon History come out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning at around 6 a.m., so the next one will be on your device and ready to go in a couple of days at most. And until then, go out and fill up the rest of today and, if applicable, tomorrow with good stuff. Bye now.